98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Bigley Blast.
One way or another, the Cardinals are making history in the postseason. They are playing in the first ever Monday Night Football playoff game, and there are benefits. If the Cardinals win, Tuesday will feel like a Monday. The week will fly by, and the second round of the playoffs will be here before you know it. The postseason will go from 0 to 60 overnight. And if the Cardinals win, there is going to be a feeling of closer proximity to an actual Super Bowl trophy. And that's because by the time the Cardinals take the field, five teams will have been eliminated from the postseason. 36% of the playoff field will be gone, which means the waiting on the front end will suddenly have a last man standing kind of feel to it. Now, of course, losing to the Rams on Monday Night Football would also take on exaggerated consequences. It would be a long way to go and a long time to wait just to whimper out of the playoffs with five losses in the span of six games. And how will anyone trust in this team or this head coach entering next season under those circumstances? How will anyone buy into the declarations of progress and the promise of a brighter future? Answer, they won't. Good news is the Cardinals have performed very well under pressure this season, and there certainly will be plenty of that Monday night in Los Angeles. All right, today's Bickley Blast brought to you by my great friends at Chapman BMW. Test drive the ultimate driving machine at Chapman BMW in Chandler, at Chapman BMW on Camelback. Shop online at ChapmanBMW.com.
Yeah, it's definitely exciting. You know, we learned that, you know, this is going to be one of the first Monday Night Football playoff games. And, you know, all the hype is there in L.A. It's going to be, you know, a divisional opponent, an opponent that we play twice a year. So it's definitely very exciting for me. I'm very blessed and to be able to be healthy for this 17-week season. And, you know, it's definitely special to be at this point. It's, you know, the records don't mean anything. It's 0-0, and, you know, the best man wins, and that's what I'm very excited for. Been waiting for this opportunity since I got into the league, and now that I have this opportunity, now that we have this opportunity, it's definitely special for us.
Buda Baker on Big Red Rage last night here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station, talking about his first experience getting to the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
It's a new experience for a lot of members of this team. Again, it's crazy to think about it, that the Cardinals, by playing on Monday night, will have ended the longest NFC postseason drought. Ooh, fighting off a sneeze again. Postseason drought.
Yeah.
But, you know, there is truth to what Buda Baker says. The records don't mean anything, and you could tell yourself that, but trends definitely are a thing. And I think this is a fascinating matchup between these two teams, because you've got the Cardinals on one hand, who lost 4 of 5 going into the playoffs. They had their ticket punched for them by others, other results around the league, but they're in the playoffs. That's you can't debate that. The Rams have actually won 5 of 6 games going down the stretch, but they haven't exactly filled people with confidence about their chances either. So the trends, the wins and loss trends, they look completely different, but there's a lot of similarities in terms of confidence in these two teams.
Well, that's exactly right. And I think Cliff Kingsbury said it earlier this week when he talked about the difference between these two teams and where they're at right now in terms of status and reputation. And his answer very simply was, being in the second round of the playoffs is a lot better than winning a division title.
Yes.
And that is to say that if he beats the Rams on Monday night, everything that has been said negatively just magically goes away. And that is exactly the deal. That's exactly how simple this can be. He wins a playoff game, it will go a long way in disputing the idea that he cannot win big games. Once again, 0-2 last year in playoff clinching games, mm-hmm. 0-3 this year. The game after they were gifted is wrong, because they would have gotten in the playoffs with the win at Dallas anyways, but they didn't win that game until they were gifted a playoff berth. And then after the Dallas game, going into a game that would have given them the division title, had the 49ers beaten the Rams, which did indeed occur, they also lost that game. So this is a mountain of really influential football games in which this football team has failed. And sometimes they have failed spectacularly. You go reverse that and you win. That goes away. It's enormous. Now, it's not as much as Matthew Stafford winning a playoff game. The stakes are higher for them than they are for the Cardinals. That much we know for certain. But like I said in the blast, you win that game, you're going to wake up and you're going to realize, wow, I spent the whole weekend watching football teams get eliminated from the postseason, watching teams leave the field knowing they are done for the year, and my football team is still alive. It's good. If you're the first football team to win, you win that game on Saturday. If you're Cincinnati and you win that game on Saturday, you still feel like you're a mile away, 2 miles away from the Super Bowl, because there's all this football still in front of other teams in your bracket. By the time the Cardinals play, everybody is going to have played, and all the teams that are going to be eliminated will have been eliminated. The field will already have been condensed. And so when it happens, if it happens, you're going to feel like, wow, it's actually right there.
And we'll be here Tuesday, 5 days away from the next game.
That's exactly right. And a big red Monday will happen on a Tuesday, and Wednesday will roll, and you'll be rubbing your eyes. You'll have that dragon ass on your shoulder.
Drier than ever.
Going back to Cliff Kingsbury's quote, and I did get a kick out of that quote. He's right. Being in the second round of the playoffs means a lot more than a division title. But don't you think that's like 99% deflection? Again, they had a 95% chance to win the division a month ago. And it doesn't have to be an either-or proposition. You could have done both. You could have won the division, maybe wrapped up that number one seed, and coasted into the second round because you didn't have to play in the wild card
weekend. I just think he sees it as very clean that, okay, if L.A. came up and stole that from him, they can go and steal it back from L.A. by beating them Monday night. Like you said, it's semantics. It's a way to take a negative and spin it into something. Oh, okay, that makes sense. That's much more achievable than we thought. Maybe we're not awful. Maybe we can feel good about ourselves. It's football. Football comes at you fast. I mean, it's J.J. Watt just tweeted that to T.J. Watt over the weekend, because on successive plays, T.J. Watt set a sack record, and the next play got kicked right in the midsection.
Yes.
And J.J. Watt pointed that out.
Yeah, life comes at you fast.
Yeah. Young buck.
Going back to your knock on wood moment from the previous segment.
Uh-oh. What?
Nothing happened.
Okay.
But I did get an alert during the segment on my phone from Bleacher Report, and the headline reads, and I just read it real quick, and I was like, you got to be kidding me. But the headline is, J.J. Watt has positive...
Oh.
Practice.
Oh, good.
Okay. It was like, oh.
Yeah. Right.
You were going to get scolded, Dan Bickley.
Yeah, for bringing that into the universe. Yeah, I know.
Speaking it into reality.
Don't want to do that.
No, you don't want to do that. You could text your thoughts to the FanDuel text line.
J.J. Watt has Corona with his dinner to have a refreshing.
Right.
People still call it that. Remember when that was a thing?
Yeah.
Sarah says it.
Corona.
No.
Coronavirus.
Yeah.
I don't call it Corona. I use real existing words.
Anyhow, you can text your thoughts to the FanDuel text line at 620-620 right now. Coming up next, the similarities between Matthew Stafford of the Rams at this point of his career and former Cardinals quarterback once upon a time, Carson Palmer, are pretty striking. Carson Palmer was on our airwaves this week. We'll tell you what he said about this matchup next. It's Bickley and Marotta Mornings, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Friday with Bickley and Marotta. Presented by 72 Sold. Get your price. 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station.
It's just exciting. It's a new season. You know, it's everybody talks about everybody's record has been expunged. Everybody's 0-0. Loser go home. And that excitement that you know the season can be over and everything can end so drastically and dramatically is what, you know, really gets the juices flowing. It gets guys recommitted and you know, fighting every day they can to be as healthy as they can, getting through practices so that they can play in these games.
It's Carson Palmer, former Cardinals quarterback. He joined Wolf and Luke yesterday here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station, sharing the experience being a player heading into the playoffs for the first time. And I think Carson Palmer is, I always like to hear what he has to say on things. I think he's a fascinating guy. Really enjoyed him while he was here as the quarterback of the Cardinals. But I think he's in a unique spot this week because he's kind of the example of what Matthew Stafford is dealing with right now. The similarities are crazy between them. And I remember in 2015, the Cardinals had all kinds of expectations. Mm-hmm. They were the division champs. They got a first-round bye, 13 wins. But you got to that game against Green Bay, and there were all the questions that were flying around nationally. Well, Carson Palmer's never won a playoff game. That was certainly true. The fact that Carson Palmer had spent a good portion of his career in Cincinnati, people brought that up. Well, he played in Cincinnati. They don't win playoff games. Same thing with Matthew Stafford. Mm-hmm. We know that Carson Palmer was able to win that first playoff start as a Cardinal quarterback, although he didn't play great.
No.
He was shaky in
especially
that game.
The first half of the game.
The first half, and then made, I still give him huge credit for the play that everybody remembers from that game when he escaped pressure and found Larry Fitzgerald across the field. That basically won the game for them.
Oh, it was one of the most risky passes you'll ever see in your life.
Yeah.
Going across your body, across the field,
mm-hmm.
on a floater like that.
Mm-hmm.
That thing could have, if there was somebody lurking, that could have been a debacle right there. Listen, I think that it was to the point with Carson Palmer where even BA acknowledged it to the media. There was actually a quote or two where he basically was like, yeah, I don't know quite what's going on with him. And but you know, with time, you kind of figure that stuff out. And I do think that Matthew Stafford's certainly in that same boat. And but this is the thing. Pressure with Matthew Stafford in this game, it doesn't necessarily mean it's going to be a bad thing for him. It might be a very good thing for him. The thing that I find fascinating is not so much that his wife went on a podcast to kind of talk a little bit about what happened with the 49er fans overtaking their stadium, mm-hmm. and all that. But she was talking about it from the standpoint of her husband, because her husband, his communication was compromised.
I'm going to play that a clip.
Okay. Yeah. Kelly Stafford.
This is Kelly Stafford on a podcast.
I'm not going to lie. I've never seen so many of the opposing team's fans at a game. And we came from Detroit, and there are a lot of good traveling teams there, but that was wild. Like, Matthew is on a silent count. And then for those of you who don't know what that is, like, he can't call. It's like a, like when he hikes the ball, it's either a loud count where you can hear him. And that's what usually quarterbacks are on when they're at home, or a silent count. Matthew is on a silent count. Jimmy Garoppolo was not, who's the opposing quarterback. It was crazy. I mean, I've never seen anything like that, but, It made it very hard for us because I guess, you know, we weren't expecting to be on silent count.
Yeah.
And it's a really big deal. And so I don't think Cardinal fans, even if they do get a chunk of people at the game, it will never be like 49ers fans. Because as you said yesterday, L.A., San Francisco, Southern Cal, Northern Cal, that's true hate. That's true rivalry.
Not to mention that there's probably a chunk of people who live in Southern California who, before L.A. had a team, had to pick between the Chargers and the 49ers.
Which way are you going?
Yeah, and they, you know, there's probably a lot of 49ers
Stan Humphries
fans.
Or Joe Montana, who
exactly.
You get behind?
Well, and how many Angelinos had, you know, ties to the Rams before they moved? That, you know, my team moves out of town and goes to St. Louis, of all places, I'm probably pretty bitter. That fan base is not nearly what it should be.
Right. No, exactly. That's exactly right.
I did see people, on the Talking Head shows, they brought up the Kelly Stafford quote, and they showed clips of the game, and then they started sort of making fun of the Cardinals fan base and saying, like, oh, they won't have to worry about that this week. The Cardinals don't have a... Which is not true, because they do travel pretty well, especially when it's a game this convenient to go to.
Sure.
You're just hoping that the way the Cardinals finished the season didn't dampen the excitement level that people will say, like, well, that's not worth driving out there because they're going to lose anyway.
Mm. Oh, hey, by the way.
Yeah.
Headline in the New York Times, quote, is the Arizona Cardinals title drought the result of a curse?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. So what did the Pottsville Department of Tourism tell you, Jared?
Never got back
it is
to
that
me.
You call. Never got back to me.
But kick rocks. That's what they told him.
That's exactly what they told you.
Never got back to me. But we'll do our part to try to end the Pottsville maroon curse. What is a maroon anyway?
It's a color.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So it's a
the
deep
Pottsville
red.
Maroons?
Yeah.
Who would name themselves after a color?
That's Stanford did that.
Cleveland Brown. Well, that was after.
No, that's
dude.
A guy's name.
Yeah.
The Arizona Cardinals. That was. Well, they were named after the color first, weren't they?
Were they?
Chicago
before
Cardinals?
The bird?
I don't know.
Well, I didn't even think about
I
that.
I didn't know that.
Stanford, definitely. Going back to the Carson Palmer interview with Wolf and Luke, the comparisons between he and Matthew Stafford, again, there's a lot of them to be made. Here's what Carson Palmer believes in terms of the pressure and how to deal with it, what Matthew Stafford needs to do.
You know, I know there's a lot of pressure being in L.A. and with the history of that team and just, you know, all the superstars that the Rams have on that team, there's a lot of pressure, but it's just another game, and you got to try to force yourself in your mind to think it's just a game, go through my reads, be a leader in the huddle, be a leader on the sideline, and not try to do anything too spectacular or make the big play.
But that goes against his nature. I mean, I'm sure he's been told that before, but if you look at Matthew Stafford, the last game he played where he didn't throw an interception, Bic,
mm-hmm.
was the Cardinals game back on December 13th. Since then, against Seattle, he threw a pick. Three picks against Minnesota overcame them somehow, and then two picks in each of the last two games.
It's probably at the point where you actually expect him to throw at least one interception mm-hmm. on Monday night.
And the Cardinals did intercept him in the game in Los Angeles and didn't do it in the game in Glendale. Now, in terms of the counterpart, Kyler Murray, we talked about it in Rush Hour Reboot. What advice would you give him? Oh, I don't really have any advice from my role to what a starting quarterback should do in a playoff game, but Carson Palmer shared what his advice would be to Kyler Murray.
Yeah, you know, it's just one of those games where you both know each other so well. They've played against each other a number of times, being interdivision opponents, and you got to go in, that team has not had a lot of success as of lately. They've lost a handful of games here down the stretch, and you just got to go in with confidence, and you got to go in and lead, because there's a lot of guys that are nervous, they're worried, it's their first postseason game, maybe the first couple of years in the league, and you just need to be there for those guys and lead and go out and just, you know, you don't have to do anything spectacular. You don't have to make the amazing explosive play. You just have to do your job one play at a time and make sure you keep all those guys' eyes in the huddle focused, especially the younger guys, and find a way to get a win. You know, it's a rivalry game, and it's a playoff game, so there's a little extra on it. Just find a way to win.
Yeah, and in terms of ball security or putting the ball in jeopardy, Kyler Murray certainly, he hasn't been perfect in that area this year, but he's been really good and so much better than Matthew Stafford is.
Yeah.
Limit turnovers, and, you know, I mean, that's the case every week in the NFL. It gets magnified in the playoffs.
Best quarterback wins, Vinny. I think we can really bottom line this and make this kind of simple. Best quarterback wins. I believe that's the case.
Yeah, I think so.
This game's going to be about.
I think so, too.
Yeah. Yeah.
You can text your thoughts to the FanDuel text line right now. It's open at 620. Coming up next, we'll get the L.A. perspective. Once again, we'll check in with our friend who covers the Rams, Jordan Rodriguez from The Athletic. Next, it's Bickley and Marotta Mornings, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Football Friday with Bickley and Marotta, presented by 72 Sold. Get your price. 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station.
I don't know if it's, I feel like it's the first time I've ever played the same team three times in a year, so it's a little bit different for me. All the three other times that I've been in the playoffs have been against non-divisional opponents, so... Yeah, it's a little bit different. I don't know how to feel about it, to be honest with you. I'm just going to attack it as a game as it is and try to play as good as I possibly can.
Matthew Stafford, quarterback for the LA Rams this week, talking about the third time around, the rubber match between the Cardinals and Rams Monday night and Super Wild Card Weekend. Here to talk about it from the Rams' perspective. She covers the Rams for The Athletic. Our friend Jordan Rodriguez checks in on the 72 Sold Sports Line. Good morning, Jordan. How are you?
Good morning, guys. I'm doing well. How are you? Welcome back again, the third time.
About that, right?
there we go. Matthew Stafford, obviously, when you talk about this game from the Rams' perspective and this postseason potentially from the Rams' perspective, it all comes back to, oh, he's never won the playoff game. Is he indeed the upgrade that they thought he was going to be? Is that the biggest concern or question right now about the Rams going into this game from your perspective, Jordan?
Not necessarily from my perspective. I do think that it's a fair question to ask of him is, you know, what kind of postseason could he possibly put together, understanding that in a long career he had not done so previously. And I do think that playing clean football for him is going to be the number one thing that sort of makes or breaks his own performance. The Rams did show at the end of the season they can win despite him turning the ball over, but as we all know, that is not a sustainable way to win games, particularly playoff games when it's one and done at that point. So I do think, though, that there are maybe bigger concerns on the other side of the ball for the Rams defensively, missing a couple safeties and sort of navigating around that, missing their inside linebacker who really made a difference in this last time around for the against the Cardinals, Ernest Jones. So I do think in terms of what's in front of their feet, that's probably the biggest concern. Overall, though, this is a chance for Matthew Stafford to sort of silence some of those narratives, and it's not necessarily something I think that he dwells on particularly. I think that's more for sort of us to dwell on and talk about. But at the same time, you know, this guy wants to win. He wants to win bad, and you know, for me, it's never been a question of, you know, is he worth the upgrade? What people also kind of don't seem to remember when talking about this transaction all these months later, oh my gosh, it was this month. Oh my goodness, how time flies. It just hit me like a ton of bricks. That was this month when they made that trade. My God, I'm getting old. but they also did it to move away from a situation that had become untenable. They of course, you know, had such an amazing season in 2018 with Jared Goff, who does deserve the flowers and the respect for helping them get to the big show. But at the same time, this was a situation where they never felt like they would get there again with that quarterback. And they also felt like the ceiling had dropped with that quarterback. So this isn't just about, you know, can Matthew Stafford win a playoff game? This was a move where it was also moving away from a situation they never thought would have this high of a ceiling again. So that to me is the big differentiation, you know, aside from this Matthew Stafford needing to win this game.
When Matthew Stafford's wife pleaded with Rams fans to not sell their tickets to Cardinals fans, I thought, welcome to our hell in Arizona. Welcome to what we've been living with for 20 years. How has that story played out this week? Is that going to bring an added level of spirit to the crowd, or is this just kind of, you know, their deal?
You know what? I haven't really tracked it that closely. I just focusing, you know, like trying to dig into the X's and O's on the other side. But also I did see that kind of got some traction over here. And it was definitely noticeable. You know, when you have to go to a silent count in your home stadium and the opposing quarterback does not have to go to a silent count, that's pretty substantial. It's pretty concerning on the side of the team. And obviously, you know, it's still a growing and building fan base, you know, revitalizing things back in Los Angeles. But it was pretty jarring sitting up there in the press box and looking down and seeing and hearing, you know, sort of what a difference the crowd is making. The Rams did false start twice. So that's not great, obviously. I don't necessarily know that will be the case this week. And it is a hard game, I think, for Los Angeles people to get to, considering it's, you know, in prime time and LA rush that's hour true. Is actually a hell for many. And
oh, I hadn't heard.
Yeah. So good luck to you guys getting through, getting off the SoFi. But you might be better walking starting now. But yeah, it's going to be interesting. But I do think that, you know, Niners fans, I think they travel well. So they're hoping this is a one-off situation, but definitely was a concern and raised some eyebrows out here for sure.
Jordan Rodriguez from The Athletic, our guest here on the 72 Sold Sports Line. You know, locally, we're having the discussions on J.J. Watt. He's back at practice. Will he play? There's a report that it's trending that he's going to play. So we've had the discussions on what he can bring the Cardinals. In L.A., the Eric Weddle story, did that come completely out of nowhere? Is he expected to play? Is that just a in case of emergency, break glass kind of signing? I mean, what's behind all that, Jordan?
Yeah, that was wild. My impression of how this sort of escalated was, so they lost two safeties, obviously one, Jordan Fuller, one of their captains and their defensive signal caller, two-year starter for them, out for the year with an ankle injury. And then Taylor Rapp is progressing through the concussion protocol, so that's their two starters. And then one of their depth guys, Juju Hughes, got claimed off of waivers. They were trying to sneak him through waivers, and he got claimed by Detroit. Former Rams assistant GM Brad Holmes snuck him away from him. And then they only have, you know, two guys with any sort of experience on their depth chart right now in Terrell Burgess and Nick Scott. Both, you know, solid players, but you need some depth there. So my understanding of this is that it was kind of like, because he's in communication with the staff a lot, and he's one of Sean McVay's good friends. My understanding was that it started out as kind of like a we should call Eric Weddle. Yeah, like, let's see how he can contribute. And then they're like, wait, maybe we should call Eric Weddle. And so Raheem Morris gives him a call, and when they get on the phone, Eric said that Raheem asked him, is he out of shape? Is he fat? And he said no to both. And then they were like, hey, come on down. So he got here about 36 hours ago. He's basically been living at the facility, as was his way when he played as well. And I don't expect a huge role for him. I expect some sub-package work. They do like to be in their sub-packages a lot, you know, 10, 15 snaps. But if they, you know, if they make it through here, maybe an expanded role moving forward, but definitely don't expect him to be out there, you know, with their starters full-time or anything like that.
All right, what to expect from the Rams defense? Because first time the Cardinals played him versus the second time they played him, that was a much different Aaron Donald, obviously. It was a much different defense. What should we expect on Monday?
Yeah, you know, playoff Aaron Donald is a fearsome sight to behold. So I would imagine he's still going to try to bring it as much as he can. The biggest difference to me, even aside from all this talk about shuffling safeties and, you know, one of their corners being banged up, even aside from all of that, the biggest hinge point to me that is different, that is a concern on the Rams side, is not having inside linebacker Ernest Jones. Ernest Jones made such an impact on that second game in terms of just hassling Kyler Murray, not from obviously the initial contact point or the pressure point, but working off the leverages that were provided by Aaron Donald, by that Rams front, and getting into throwing lanes, containing in the perimeters, like just suffocating and smothering the flats on either side, really going sideline to sideline and doing that. And he really is just a bright young talent that they have not had at inside linebacker in a while. Unfortunately, they won't get him back until after this week if they make it. So the timing is really awful for them in that regard. And teams key in on their inside linebackers, and they try to put the onus on them. They try to move the contact point away from the front and scheme away from Aaron Donald and those guys. And they try to move the contact point directly into the second tier, and that is a problem. So if the Cardinals can do that, they could get rolling early, and the Rams have to figure out a way to stop that.
Jordan Rodriguez from The Athletic, our guest here on the 72 Sold Sports Line. You know, the Rams had a player come back from injury in record time, too. Cam Akers coming back from an Achilles tear, and he got a couple carries last week. Do they project a bigger role for Cam Akers in the offense this week? What should we expect there, Jordan?
Yeah, I think so, and it's pretty remarkable. You guys make sure you check out theathletic.com on Monday morning for a story behind some of that recovery process. It's pretty remarkable what they've done with Cam, and something that's not really been accomplished by any player, let alone you know, a running back, and in an injury that once was sort of damning for your entire career in general. So I do expect his role to increase, actually. Sean McVay has sort of been like frothing at the mouth to try to get more two-back looks out there. You know, whether or not the backs get the touches, he really wants to add that layer of complexity to what defenses are seeing pre-snap. And Cam Akers can work into the passing game as well as be a really explosive runner. So I think this last time was just getting his feet under him, and this time I think he'll get a couple more touches. What I really think would serve them well, though, is to continue to be steady behind Sony Michel and some of that power running. Mm-hmm. Even if it's not explosive, it's just that heartbeat that keeps the offense going for them and adds stability, particularly if things are a little bit more erratic in the passing game.
Jordan, thanks so much for joining us again. We always really enjoy our talks with you.
Thanks, guys. I get to see you again. It's going to be great.
Thanks, Jordan. Jordan Rodriguez covers the Rams for The Athletic. She joined us on the 72 Sold Sports Line. Get your price at 72sold.com. Coming up next, yes, playoffs a lot of times boil down to quarterback play. But who are the most important non-quarterbacks in Wild Card Weekend for the Cardinals and everybody else? We'll get into some of that next. It's Bickley and Murata Mornings live from the Ak-Chin Community Studios, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Go to ArizonaSports.com to get insider access and the best coverage from all your favorite local teams, including award-winning columnist Dan Bickley. ArizonaSports.com is powered by FanDuel Sportsbook.
Football Friday with Bickley and Murata. Presented by 72 Sold. Get your price. 98.7 FM. Arizona's sports station. Bickley and Murata. Hash marks.
It's something we've had to deal with. You know, we've had injuries, unfortunate ones, where, you know, you're missing, you know, some of your best players. But a lot of these guys have stepped up and carried us to this way. You know, now we're in the playoffs, and to have both of them back would definitely be crucial for us. Two guys that everyone knows they can count on, and have the 100% trust in to get the job done. So, I'm pretty positive, or I'm pretty sure, you know, if they are out there, they'll be 100% ready to go.
That's Kyler Murray yesterday talking about the possibility of having a couple of his running backs available for the wild card game Monday night. James Conner and Chase Edmonds, who've both been banged up at the end of the year. Now, Chase Edmonds came out yesterday and said, I'll be suited up, I'll be ready to go, despite what the organization said. James Conner didn't practice. He remains a bit of a mystery, but I would put those two guys near the top of the list of most important non-quarterbacks going into this game for the Cardinals.
Yeah, oh, I would definitely think so. I think that when you take a look at the running back room, you take a look at the way they've got to beat this football team. They've got to have some balance. They've got to play physical. They've got to ball control. They have to dictate is what they have to do. And there's a recipe out there. When the Cardinals have been really good, it's part of it. I think James Conner is crucial to it. I think Isaiah Simmons can have a huge game. I think Buda Baker. I look at the Cardinals' defense, and you can see a difference in the way they play in the games that they have won against good teams, and the ones when action has been dictated to them.
Mm-hmm.
They get up, they get in the backfield, they make plays, they make tackles. Buda Baker's flying around the field. That's the kind of statement that the Cardinals defense has to make as well. So, yeah, I think there's any number of unsung heroes, if you will.
Yeah, but if you go back, like I did yesterday, and rewatch that Week 4 matchup, the running backs were so instrumental in what they did offensively. Chase Edmonds had such a bounce in that game. He had a 54-yard run, over 100 yards. James Conner found the end zone. They were both involved in the passing game, which... again, when we talk about how the passing game has been affected without DeAndre Hopkins, a lot of those targets have gone to Zach Ertz, but a lot have trickled down to the running backs as well. You've got both of those guys available in your passing game, and giving that many more options to Kyler Murray, it's a huge thing. So I'm crossing my fingers that they're available.
And I think there's something to be said for that, because in my hope that Kyler Murray takes this game and expands his game in this playoff game, that is also kind of dependent on other guys around him making plays.
Sure.
Because if nobody around Kyler Murray is doing anything, Rams could just put a spy on him and limit anything he could do with his legs. You talk about this last Rams game. Here's a case in point. They had performances from pretty much everybody, yet Kyler Murray also was there on those really big-time moments when they had to have a play. I remember there was either a touchdown pass or a near-touchdown pass to Christian Kirk that they nullified upon review, if I remember this correctly. They were in a 3rd-and-16, and Kyler Murray did one of those whoop-whoop scrambles and picked it up, and it crushed the soul of the Rams. And so that's kind of the deal here. If you can get guys around Kyler Murray making plays, if Chase Edmonds and James Conner and these wide receivers contribute here and there, then it's going to allow Kyler Murray to do the demoralizing stuff.
And we've talked so much about Matthew Stafford on the Rams side of things. There's not a ton of although you could add some names to the list, and I think our conversation with Jordan Rodrigue will help us add those names. Aaron Donald, I think, is always the most important non-quarterback going into a Rams game because of his sheer ability to just wreck a ball game.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't see it in the first matchup, definitely saw it in the second matchup. But, a lesser-known name, Taylor Rapp, is in the concussion protocol right now. If he doesn't get cleared, that might necessitate more work for Eric Weddle. He's a very important player, and Taylor Rapp has played well against the Cardinals in the past couple of years. As a guy who forces turnovers. So I think the most important non-quarterbacks for the Rams going into this matchup are all on the defensive side of the ball.
I think the fact that they've got a couple of running backs that they might be rolling at the Cardinals this week, that'll be a challenge for them, and Cam Akers and Sony Michel. And then I also think Tyler Higbee, who wasn't around in the last time they played, he's also tricky good in terms of being a weapon as a tight end.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, to me, they got to get back to it. Number one for the Cardinals, you've got to make sure Aaron Donald does not destroy your offense. How did they do that the first time around? If you went back and watched it, I've seen it twice myself. There were times when basically the Cardinals did whatever it took to block him. Sometimes they triple teamed him, believe it or not. And Wolf said yesterday that it seemed to him in that game that Aaron Donald just was not into the game. So he was just a little bit off. That might have been true, too.
Might have been. There was one play that comes to mind where he actually broke through and got a real good push on Kyler Murray, and Murray just kind of juked him without very much issue.
Yep.
And he looked like a completely different player second time around.
Yeah, he did. So if the quarterback pressures the second time around, that has to be cleaned up. And I would hope it would be, because 40 overall pressures is an insane number to allow an opposing pass rush. And again, especially if you do it with four guys, because that to me, if there's a common denominator when Kyler Murray looks lost, when Kyler Murray gets pressure and just throws the ball out of bounds or throws it up for grabs, it's when four are getting in his face, and he doesn't know exactly who's open.
Because
there's seven guys in the secondary.
In terms of pressures, I don't know if you saw Kyle Odegaard, who used to cover the Cardinals for azcardinals.com, still tweets about them quite a bit. Did you see what he put out there yesterday in terms of quarterback pressures on the offensive line for the Cardinals?
No.
Specifically DJ Humphreys. Kyle Odegaard's tweet, DJ Humphreys pressures allowed in the first 12 games, 19. Pressures allowed in his past four, 23.
Ooh.
Now, there won't be exclusively DJ Humphreys against Aaron Donald matchups. They move him around the line, but the Rams have other good pass rushers. Mm-hmm. I mean, Leonard Floyd is capable of wrecking a game, too. That number jumped out at me,
and
especially on the heels of maybe DJ Humphreys' roughest game of the past several years. And I know he was coming back from being on the COVID list, but he got abused quite a bit in that game against Seattle.
And then a lot of it becomes to, okay, what tactically, what are you going to do? Are you going to try to go out there? If you're Cliff Kingsbury, can you resist the urge of going out there and trying to show a lot of sizzle, a lot of four and five wide receiver sets? Because when you do that, you're leaving your protection to a small group of guys, to a small band of brothers.
Yes. And that hasn't necessarily always worked out.
No, it really hasn't. No.
Yeah, so it's not all about the quarterbacks, but certainly they're important, but other important key players as well on both sides.
I think across the NFL, if you look at key players who might make a big-time impact, Joe Mixon in the Bengals is a big-time talent, right?
Mm-hmm.
Najee Harris, if the Steelers are going to do anything in that game against the Chiefs.
Well, they're supposed to get Juju Smith-Schuster back
as well.
And another guy who just recently came back in that Bengals-Raiders matchup for me, Darren Waller. He missed five games. He got hurt in that Thanksgiving game against Dallas. He's such a weapon. He's back. He had a little bit of a role in that win over the Chargers, but their passing numbers were way down despite the fact that they won three of those five games. Yeah. But he just unlocks a different level for Derek Carr in that passing game.
I am super excited. This is such a great weekend.
It is.
The NFL playoffs are just the best.
This is a Dan Bickley
bottle opener around the neck
kind of weekend.
Yeah, right. The dry January thing is really going to be tested this weekend.
No,
really
it's not going to be tested. It's going to fail.
It's going to fail. It's going to fail spectacularly. I can feel it.
If you're going to fail, fail hard.
Absolutely.
Barrett Jackson. Celebrating 50 years as the world's greatest collector car auction as it returns to Westworld of Scottsdale January 22nd through the 30th. Head to the contest page at arizonasports.com for complete details and your chance to win tickets. Coming up next, we sift through Bickley_Murata on Twitter. We call it social studies. Sarah Gazelle will take us through it next. It's Bickley and Murata Mornings here live from the Ak Chin Community Studios, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.